Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hey, we are back once again with the latest edition of Gun on One. The Philadelphia Eagles keep rolling, and so do we. This week, we are rolling with one of my all-time favorites. He is still as colorful, as funny, and unpredictable as you can imagine. It is the one and only, and oh, by the way, the newest addition to the Eagles Hall of Fame. He is Hugh Douglas, coming up on this edition of Gun on One.
Sal Palantonio from ESPN.
I'm Brandon Graham.
Lane Johnson here.
This is the magnificent DJ Jazzy Jeff.
This is Donovan McNabb.
This is Chris Long.
This is Mark Zumoff, the TV voice of the 76ers on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
It's Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski.
Hello, I'm Jay Wright, head coach of Villanova basketball.
Hey, I'm Brian Westbrook, and you're listening to the Gun on One podcast.
And what's happening? This is your blessed boy, Brian Dawkins, Hall of Famer, and you're locked in to Gun on One.
You are locked in to the Gun on One.
Gun on One.
Gun on One.
You are locked on to Gun on One.
I've been on the air for 25 years, but I could not wait to be on Gun on One with my man, Derek Gunn.
ESPN bracketologist Joe Lunardi telling you to stay locked on to Gun on One. It is a number one seed.
All right, get ready, everybody. We're back on this edition of Gun on One. And without further ado, we bring in a guy who needs no introduction. And the first thing I want to know is, do I now have to refer to you as Mr. Douglas since you are officially in the Eagles Hall of Fame along with Trent Cole? Can I still call you Hugh, or do I have to refer to you as Mr.?
D-Gun, you can call me whatever you want to call me, man. You know, hey, listen. Like, you taught me a lot my years in Philadelphia, especially about this other side of the game that I'm on now, this media game.
Yeah.
So, D-Gun, you can call me whatever you want to, man. You gave me the plug on the coolest fishing hole in Philadelphia that nobody knows about, that we ain't going to talk about. So, yeah, D-Gun, you can call me whatever you want to call me.
Thank you, kind sir. And we'll just leave it at that for right now. Congratulations, man. I'm so happy for you. It's almost like a family member got inducted into the Eagles Hall of Fame because I consider you family, because we go way back with some crazy stuff, man.
Oh no, man, definitely, definitely. It felt like Thanksgiving. It felt like a homecoming. I mean, totally, totally honest. You know, being there with all the guys, man, B-Dog, Jeremiah Trotter, Brian Westbrook, and those guys, man.
Yeah, man.
David Akers, like, man, Chad Lewis, like, dude, like, coming back to Philadelphia,
yeah,
and just being in that atmosphere. And I had a cheesesteak. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful day for me.
You always talk about the cheesesteaks. Will that always be one of your signature foods in life?
Man, listen, the cheesesteak, it's like so many different things that are uniquely Philly. I found something else, man, that I didn't get a chance to go to. It's the Philly cake lady. Have you seen some of the stuff? Are you on Instagram, D-Gun?
Occasionally.
Dude, she has an Instagram page where she has banana pudding cakes. She has banana. I didn't get a chance to try it because I was busy. But boy, you best believe it. When I get back up to Philadelphia, boy, I'm gonna let her have it. She gonna get all this business right here, bro. She gonna get all this business.
See, I have to be very careful about pastries and desserts that I try, because my wife is an incredible baker.
Uh-huh.
So I have to make sure I cleared with her first.
Oh yeah, that's
as to not offend her.
Case, yeah. But see, me, it's just me now. So I'm doing the best that I can, however I can.
Look, man, you played this game a long time. You're just a natural in front of big audiences. But this was a different arena, man. And as you just talked about, you were out there with a lot of Eagle alumni and former teammates. When you stepped out on that field, were you nervous?
Not nervous, just appreciative.
Yeah.
You know, man, listen, Philly's a hard place to play.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. And to be in a city that you know is a tough city to play in,
yeah,
to be adored that way, to have that the fans appreciate you like that, man, that's a feeling like no other, knowing that they don't give their love easily. You know what I mean? I mean, Philly, listen, you can say what you want about Philly booing Santa Claus. You can say what you want about Philly being mean to what's that dude name that left that didn't want to shoot the free throw, Ben Simmons. You can say what they want about whoever was in Philadelphia, Jalen Rager, that didn't like it there, whatever. Dude, when you on the other side of that, when you're on the other side of that, man, that's the best feeling in the world, man. That is the absolute best feeling in the world.
Yeah, there's no gray area when it comes to Philadelphia. They not love at it all. Or they don't.
No, not at all. And you know what? The one thing I love about Philly, man, and this has helped me out in my media career.
Sure.
They're brutally honest. Philadelphians are brutally honest. And I think back at those times where me and Rob Cherry used to do WIP shows from Philly's games and me just cutting my teeth in radio, not knowing a damn thing about baseball.
Right.
And those people taking time out of their day to teach me about the sport that they love and didn't kill me on the air like that and things like that. You know how tough it could be for a host in Philadelphia?
I know,
and for them to appreciate me enough to show me that love and allow me to grow as a radio host, man. I mean, man, that's priceless. That's priceless.
Mm. Man, I look at your career. Former first round draft pick. Defensive rookie of the year. 10-year NFL career. 80 career sacks. And now Eagles Hall of Famer. As you look back, outside of not getting a ring, did you get everything you wanted out of football?
I can't complain, even about that, D-Gun. You know, and I'm excited and I'm happy that Philadelphia was able to experience a ring. I wish I was able to bring that to them.
Right.
But, man, when you talk about things that you set out to do in life, like, we all have life goals. And sometimes we achieve those goals, but sometimes we fall short. Man, listen. I played with a great group of guys that I call to this day family.
Yep.
One of my family members is in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like I'm in the Hall of Fame. Let me tell you, when like me and Brian don't talk all the time.
Right.
But when we talk, me and Trotter don't talk all the time.
Right.
But when we see each other, man, it's like kid in the candy store moment. It's like, you know, you pick up exactly where you left off. And the way that I feel about these guys, man, the things that we've been through, the stories that we have, man, that's the best feeling in the world. So their successes are my successes. Like interesting. Me and Trot were talking about Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
Right.
He balling down there at Clemson. Because that's my son. That's my kinfolk. That's my nephew.
Right.
So that's just like, that's my son. So I know Trot well enough to know when Jeremiah Trotter Jr. got his that first sack of the season, when he got that interception last week against South Carolina, ooh, I was so excited because I'm like, look at nephew doing it. Ooh, look at nephew doing his thing, man. I'm like, look at my nephew. So it's like when you see your teammates' kids doing well, man, you pulling for everybody. You pull for everybody.
I'm glad you said that because as you were talking about the family environment you had with these guys, it brought back a great memory back in May when you guys were all together at the Brian Dawkins golf outing. And I'm sitting there right in the middle of all you guys. And it's like you see each other every day because you're picking up, you're taking shots at each other. You're telling old war stories.
Yeah.
It's like it just never stopped. It's like been a constant carryover from your playing career.
Yeah, no question about that. D-Gun, we went through a lot together as a team. We grew. We got better as a team.
Yeah.
Hell, we damn near all went to the Pro Bowl at the same time, you know? And some of the stuff that we've been through, some of the, like, we haven't always been lovey-dovey. Like, we've been angry with one another.
Right.
But the thing that I respect about it, no matter what it was, it never spilled over to a point where, you know, we hated one another. You know, I like all of those are my family members. Like whenever I see them, Troy, Bobby, Al Harris, like, man, when I see my family doing well, man, that is the absolute best feeling in the world. Even though Al Harris is the coach for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep, yep.
I still got love for him. I still got love for him.
Oh my goodness. Hey, you know, I thought I knew a lot about you, but then I'm starting to look up some other stuff and I didn't realize this. You played 10 years in the league. Last 5 years of your career, you only missed one game, one regular season game. Last 3 years of your career, you didn't miss any regular season games. Now, as players get older in this game, that's when the little aches and pains and the nicks add up to big things, right? Mm-hmm. How did you sidestep this?
You know what, D-Gun? I didn't know until you just said something about what? Hey, D-Gun, I guess because I loved playing the game.
Right,
but, boy,
right.
Let me tell you, when that thing broke down, D-Gun, hey, D-Gun, when that thing broke down,
yeah.
That thing broke all the way down, though. Because, like, listen, I had my young son with me. He was at the game, right?
Right.
So, you know how you a little four-year-old. He was like, he wanted me to carry him. I said, yo, bro, you too big for all that. Because my hip, I'm trying to carry this little 60-pound four-year-old man.
Yeah.
My hip hurting, my back hurting. I'm like, hey, buddy. Right, hey, we can't do this. We can't do this. I'm barely carrying my own weight. I can't carry you. but man, listen, I think that's what it was, man. I never wanted to let my teammates down. I never wanted to let them down.
Yeah. As you look back, if you could do it over again, what would you do differently, whether it's as a player or growing as a man?
I wish, like, as far as a player, wish we'd have won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Wish we'd have been the first to do that. Not saying that I'm mad at the guys that did it, because, their success to me is my success.
Right.
Wish we'd have won a Super Bowl for the city of Philadelphia. I wish some of the stuff that I've done, I wish I'd have been a little bit more, I wish I'd have sat back and not been so hasty in some of the decisions that I made.
Like, you know, what?
Like, maybe I shouldn't have threatened Michael Smith at ESPN that one time, but he had that coming. Maybe I shouldn't have did that. Maybe I shouldn't have threatened to whoop his ass. Like, maybe that was not the best route to go. You know what I mean? So that's one thing that I regret. Or maybe I should have just whooped his ass. Like, there and got it all over with. Who knows?
Oh, my goodness.
Who knows? But outside of that, D-Gun,
yeah,
it's not too much. I think the path, like, you know when they say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger?
Right.
I think I've grown a lot from the path that I've taken. You know, I've learned how not to move in certain situations.
Right.
You know, I've lost a lot, but in the same breath, gained a lot of knowledge. So I wouldn't change too much. Outside of whooping his ass. I should have whooped his ass.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I have on my list of notes to talk about that a little bit later on, but I'm going to save that for later.
Okay.
And I'll jump into this current Eagles team, which has been the talk of the league for weeks, and rightfully so, having the best record in the National Football League. When you look at this team as a whole, first and foremost, what jumps out to you about this team?
Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
Jalen Hurts said something to me. Well, he didn't say nothing to me, but he spoke to me when he said it.
Okay.
Hungry dogs, they run faster.
Right.
And how he was talking about, he was equating it to how, you know, taking that loss to the Washington Commodores and just going back and reflecting on that, talking, basically saying, you know, obviously we got a little bit complacent.
Right.
And then coming back and having that nail biter against the Indianapolis Colts and being able to pull that out,
sure,
even to the game that they've had now. He's a leader, man. He's a leader.
Yeah.
And I like that about him. Like, he's getting, to me, everything that he deserves. Jalen Hurts is about to get paid.
Oh, yes.
Jalen Hurts. Like, listen. And D-Gun, I said before this season started, I said either one or two things are going to happen for Jalen Hurts. They're going to either draft another quarterback next year, or he's going to get paid. He is the undisputed leader of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
He is a guy who, when I heard Jason Kelce give him the reins and make him the leader of this team,
right,
he took that and he ran with it. He is the type of leader that you want in your quarterback. Something that you like, the way that he talks, it's never me. You never feel like it's a me conversation.
Right.
You always feel like it's a we conversation. Regardless if it's win or lose, it feels like he takes everything and he makes it a we mentality. It's not hard to play for a quarterback like that. It really, really isn't.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a guy that, man, listen, I wish nothing but the absolute best for him, his career with the Philadelphia Eagles, and this journey that they're on this year. No question about it.
Hey, Hugh, let's take a look at this defense, man. And this is a defense that's like, who's who? You got Reddick, you've got White, Bradbury, Slay, you got Sue.
Big play Slay. I like him. Listen, yeah. I like that boy, Big Play Slay, man.
Yeah.
I like this defense. I like the fact that Brandon Graham has been playing as long as he's been playing, and he's still putting it down, man.
Yeah.
Yes, a who's who. D-Gun, and they're selfless. They're a selfless bunch of guys, from what I can see. Guys enough for this team.
I look at this nucleus of players, and I always compare it to, like, when you guys were in your heyday, okay? Mm-hmm. Because you played on some great Eagles defenses. When you look at this nucleus of players compared to the best Eagles defense you played on, does this defense compare?
I think they're better because, like, number one, that they got the best record that the Philadelphia Eagles have ever had. I mean, you know, the record speaks for itself. I think that from what I see on the outside looking in, they're selfless. They're selfless individuals. That's the quality that we definitely had. But that offense that they have, man, outside of that year that we had T.O., man, them cats right there, what they run for, 1 million yards last weekend? Like, it was like 300-something yards on the ground between Booby Miles and
Jalen
quarterback. Like, come on, man. It was a couple times I was watching the game and I'm like, damn, Jalen tired because he'd been running all damn day. He looked like he was tired. They couldn't stop him. Dude, when you have a team that can beat you in so many different ways,
right,
that's hard to defend.
Right.
You know, going into a game, you say, okay, you go defensively. Oh, they like to run the ball. Okay, we're gonna stop the run. We're gonna load the box and we're gonna make you beat us passing the ball.
Right.
They can beat you either way. And, oh, by the way, they got a young quarterback back there that can take off and run. And, oh, yeah, he'll drop his shoulder on you if he has to do that. So, yeah, it's one of those things, man, where they're hard to defend.
Right.
You know, when you look at the teams, like I was talking to a friend of mine today, and I'm like, dude, like you never want to get ahead of yourself and when you're looking at the standings and everything. But when you look at the NFC – as a whole, you got the Minnesota Vikings that you already beat. You got the Dallas Cowboys that you already beat. The team that I keep hearing everybody talk about is San Francisco 49ers.
Yes.
And
I'm one of them.
Yeah. Like the team that, like, and that makes sense because you look at that defense when they get healthy, they're pretty solid up front. But this is the thing. And I understand, you know, they got Christian McCaffrey and all the guys over there. The receiver, I can't think of his name.
Debo Samuel.
I was about to say the dude that ride the bike, Debo. Yeah, they got him. But when you talk about legitimately can go toe to toe, are you comfortable with the quarterback that they have? The Subway. I can't think of nobody.
Oh, Garoppolo.
Yeah, Garoppolo. Are you comfortable saying okay, they can go back to back and score with this Philadelphia Eagles team?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Mm. I don't think so. But, you know, in the playoffs, crazy things happen. So
I know, man. You know, it's a new season. It's 0-0 everybody. Yeah. And as you know, you always expect the unexpected, man.
Yes.
So, you know, you sized it up very well. So who do you think is the biggest threat to the Eagles in the postseason?
Man, listen, I would probably have to say with that Bosa kid and that big – it was Armstead in the middle and that right there.
Yeah.
And we've already seen, like, whether you like it or not, the Commodores gave you a blueprint.
He called them the Commodores.
Yeah, I ain't called, man. Hey, who they commanded? Speaking of, like, don't get me started.
Call the Commodores.
Digger, did you see? I don't even know. Can you call it a statue? Look, I had to look up the definition of statue because, hell, I don't know everything, right? And I'm not about to sit here and act like I do. So I looked up the definition of statue. It says something like a cast or a bust or something like that, that is a likeness of a dog or animal or something. Who the hell does that statue look like? Who said that was a statue? The last time I checked, Sean Taylor didn't look like that. Yeah, but man, it's like, who said that was a statue? So this is what I found out today, D-Gun. I talked to some Commanders fans, Commodores fans, whatever you want to call them.
The Commodores.
And they said, yeah, like, you talk about somebody moving the line. They said, well, who said it was going to be a statue? It was just supposed to be to honor him. I said, dog, y'all need to figure that out with y'all PR people. But who in that PR meeting said, hey, D-Gun, hey, how about this? How about we put up, we put a uniform on a mannequin and say it's to tribute in tribute to Sean Taylor?
Oh my goodness!
That's the best you could do. That's the best you could do. I'm like, okay. I mean, hey, Ray Lewis got a statue. I mean, you couldn't put a little bit more money with everything that you got going on,
right?
You couldn't do better than this, especially knowing that you're being heavily scrutinized right now for everything that you do.
Absolutely.
That like I said, man, they couldn't have had no brothers in that room. Couldn't have had no brothers in that room. Because if you did, you know what Leroy and Tyrone would have said?
Oh.
Hey, hold up. This might not be what you want to do.
No. Because there's a lot of angry people down there about that right now.
Hey, hold up, homeboy. Hold up, dog. this ain't what we're trying to do.
Hey, look, when you look at this Eagles team, do you see any flaws in it?
I would say, like last night, the other night, I should say,
yeah.
People complain about special teams. D-Gun, how many times have you ever heard anybody complain about special teams?
Hold up, man. But when you got a dude who stands 5 and 7 yards in the end zone when those are automatic touchbacks, and somehow he comes running out at 41 yards, 53 yards. The dude had 173 yards on return and 5 returns. Don't you think the word is out, hey, you can run on Eagles special teams all day?
Man, listen, that's not a good look, man. That is not a good look. And that's something that, you know, Eagle fans pointed out because, like, it's funny. And for me, as an analyst,
yes,
I'm always learning stuff. And when people started to complain about special teams, you already know what the expectations are for this squad.
Yes.
You already know what the expectations are. I'm not going to say it because, D-Gun, I'm a little bit superstitious. We still got 6 games left in the season. And it's safe to say that the Eagles are a lock for the playoffs. But you don't want stuff to start going sideways.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I know.
This late in the game. You know, because I was talking to some people at my job today that are diehard Eagles fans.
Right.
All they talking about, well, why is Jalen Hurts running the ball? He needs to get down and here. We don't want him to get hurt. I said, dog, you can't play scared. You can't, because you remember on the one play where he was running outside and the play wasn't there.
He sat down.
And yeah, and he dipped his shoulder. He was trying to run somebody. I'm like, dog, you can't play scared, though.
Rudy Ford tackled him and bent him over like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
can't play scared.
On my show, Hugh, I've been screaming for weeks. You've got to control that running, man, because I've seen too many running quarterbacks get nicked up, bro. I mean, you can't play scared.
But that's Jalen Hurts' style, though.
Yeah, it is. I know. I agree.
You can't just all of a sudden. I'm pretty sure when he goes in the city of Philadelphia, I'm pretty sure when he was at the game, I was like, yo, dog. Get your butt down when you're running like that. Hold up, dog. We get too close to the season. Can't play scared, though, man. I get it. I understand. But you're asking him to do something that's inherently foreign to him now late in the game.
Yes.
You know? And he's looking at it like he has a winner's mentality. He's doing whatever he can do
Yes.
To win, because I think at that point it was like 20-20 or something like that, and he was trying to score. So, you know, you're asking him not to be who at the core who he really is.
This team has beaten opponents in a variety of ways. You know, they're blowing the team out, come from behind, win a nail biter, so on and so forth. But they also have one of the weaker schedules in the league this year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the fact that they've been so successful, coupled with that weak schedule, could hurt them down the road?
I don't think so, D-Gun, because when you look at the NFC as a whole, it's pretty weak.
It is.
Hell, D-Gun, I cover a team here in Atlanta that's still in the playoff hunt.
I know. Crazy,
that
man.
That just lost to the Commanders, who guess what? Are what, 6-5?
7-5.
7-5 that are in the playoff hunt.
Yes.
So it's one of those things where, you know, it's a possibility that the Falcons are going to be in the playoffs. So you tell me, if in the first round of the playoffs, okay, if the Falcons make it past the first round,
Right.
They're going to probably play the Dallas Cowboys or somebody like that. And then guess what they got in the second round? More than likely the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's right.
Come on, man. What you think?
Do you know, as we sit here right now, today, all four teams in the NFC East would be in the playoffs?
Yes.
All four teams?
Yes.
That's nobody thought that division would be the strongest division in the NFL.
Crazy, isn't it? And the verdict is still out.
Yes.
On the Giants. The verdict is still out.
Yes.
On the Giants. And people, for whatever reason, they're still talking. I don't know what the Cowboys are. I don't. But they don't scare me. I'm not afraid of the Cowboys.
Right.
Not at all.
Does Jalen remind you of any quarterback that you've played against in your career? And I would think you would start with Michael Vick.
Jalen Hurts to me is different in this sense.
Okay.
To me, he's from the games that I've seen. Let me say that first. He's more of a complete package than anybody else that I've seen. Well, yeah, I'll say that. Yeah, because Jalen Hurts can hurt you in the air.
Yeah.
And he can hurt you on the ground. I would say, in comparison, just off the top of my head, maybe Steve Young. And when I say that comparison, that's because Steve would beat you with his legs if necessary. Right. And he could beat you throwing the ball. I seen Jalen throw some pretty balls, man. In a year where a lot of people were questioning his accuracy.
Sure.
And his ability to throw the deep ball. I've seen him take control of games, like the Indianapolis game, take control and do some special things. So I would say, as far as that's concerned, he's complete. And again, I qualify that by saying this. In a year where quarterback play around the league in the NFC in general has not been great.
Right.
It's not been great. Right. So with that being said, he's been one of the better quarterbacks that has played all season long.
Do you think Jalen is neck and neck with, like, Patrick Mahomes in the MVP conversation, or is Patrick the clear front runner right now?
I would say this is the problem. We try to be prisoners of the moment, but in his case, you can't be because of what he's been able to accomplish in such a short period of time.
Sure.
I would say Patrick Mahomes would probably be the front runner, but Jalen Hurts is in the conversation. Patrick Mahomes has the house at the end of the cul-de-sac, Jalen Hurts is in the neighborhood. He's definitely in the neighborhood.
All right. Can't wait to see how it all plays out. Now, I want to hit you with your broadcasting career because, you know what? I never thought you would, number one, get into broadcasting. I don't know what I thought you would do, but I never thought you would be in broadcasting. And here we are today. You're still in it. But we go back to the beginning in January of 2011, and I find out that you were co-hosting a rugby show on BBC America. What the heck do you know about rugby?
I learned about it. And you know what I learned about? The first thing I learned about rugby?
What?
Those cats run all damn day, D-Gun.
Yeah, they do.
They're not the biggest guys. They're kind of built like short little bowling balls. But, boy, they can run all day. A new respect for rugby. And there was a lot of talk early on about trying to take all the pads off of football players and make them more like rugby players, because they were talking about how safe the game is and how the equipment – in football makes you, you know, do stuff that you wouldn't normally do in rugby and all this stuff.
Right.
Man, then it wouldn't be football. It would be rugby. You know what I mean?
Hey, there are some people that say rugby players are tougher than football players. How do you respond?
You know what? Rugby players are pretty tough. They're right. pretty tough. But, dude, I would say as far as condition is concerned, right. they're more on the lines of soccer players than football players. Now, you have football players that are bigger, stronger, and faster.
Right.
But when you talk about being able to run at a consistent clip yeah. like that, I got to give it to the rugby players, man. No doubt about it. But okay. but cracking your skull on Sunday, come on, yeah. man. They hit hard, but boy, I didn't see some cats get laid out on Sunday. Like, I didn't get cats. I just seen them get laid out on Sunday.
Dude, I saw where you were interviewing zookeepers and you did an Irish step dancing
that,
lesson.
All of that, man. Had fun doing it, man.
What?
Yeah, it was because, you know, like, this is the thing, D-Gun.
Yeah.
This business has become personality based.
Yes, yes.
It's more so than what you know. And you look at Twitter and a lot of times, see, this is the thing. A lot of people have a lot to say about people because of their personality.
Right.
Because
right.
at the end of the day, we're all saying the same thing. We're just yep. putting our own spin on it.
Absolutely.
So people remember people that, like for me, as for instance, I talk about my kids, the fact that my son goes to Morehouse, the right. fact that my 51-year-old ass has a 4-year-old son and running around trying to keep up with him. Like yeah. those are things that people relate to. The fact that the reason why I feel like I got so popular is because of our interaction after every game.
Yeah.
You know, people remember that. People will remember the stat line, but they also remember the interaction that you had with somebody and the delivery.
Yeah.
To this day, they're gonna do or die. I hear that. I heard that all weekend.
I still use it.
Do or die. Do or die, or the bad assiter, or something yeah. like that. You yes. know what I mean? Because people like to feel like they know you or know something about you.
Yes.
So it's a personality based business.
Man, what are you doing with a 4-year-old son, man? I mean,
everything almost... AD good. Everything still work. Everything, like, listen, everything's still working. Because when it happened, I was like, wait a minute, for real? I was
like, hey, keeps you good. Mentally young, though, right?
No, it does, man. Because listen, yeah. I had the best time with him this weekend because D-Gun, it's like he falling off. He's so excited to be at the Eagles game, man. He falling out on the field. He had like he's just being like 4-year-old. He touching all the yeah. desserts in yep. the dessert room, yeah. and I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like he had a memorable night too, D-Gun, because when we went, you know, he came to the ceremony,
sure,
and you know he's eating all the cookies and all the cakes and drinking all the sodas, and then we get back to the hotel room, D-Gun, and then he throws up in the middle of the lobby in the hotel, he just throws up,
and Daddy had to clean it up.
No, they cleaned it up, but this is the kicker though, D-Gun.
Oh.
When he throws up, he doesn't want anybody to touch him until he's done throwing up. Like, he's like, no. He's like basically, like, he's sitting there saying, listen, it's out. Let me go ahead and get it all out.
Oh.
Be good. So everybody's looking like, oh, no. And I'm like, hey, I mean.
How many times did he throw up?
He threw up enough. He threw up a lot. He threw up twice.
Oh,
but after he threw up, D-Gun, he was good to go.
Oh, dude.
And I was like, man. He is really my son, because that's you know, he wanted to steal the show, so he stole
there
it.
Hey, you know what? It's the trials and tribulations of parenthood, bro.
Yes, it is. It's a fun time, though. It's a fun time.
Yeah. Hey, look, you go from that initial broadcasting entity, and all of a sudden you ascend up the ladder. You at ESPN.
Yeah.
You doing studio shows, and then all of a sudden, in like August of 2013, it comes crashing down.
Yes.
The incident, you just talked about it a short while ago, the incident with you and Michael Smith, man. Do you regret that? You know, I'm going to ask you again. Do you regret the moment? Do you wish you had handled it differently?
I wish I'd have handled it like people handle stuff in corporate America.
Okay.
You know, it's a few things that happened during that time that taught me a lot. Michael Strahan reached out to me, right?
Right.
And Michael, and I think this was during the time where he either was going through it with Kathy Lee, like Kathy, what's the girl they did the show with, Kathy Lee. And he told me, he said, Hugh, he said, the unfortunate thing about what we do now is that everything that made you a great player works against you on this side.
That's true.
Because you're not, like, what was considered passion is considered anger.
Yeah.
You know, and it was something that stuck with me. And Mike Irvin said, he said, hey, listen, man, you can't make sacks anymore. So you're going to be judged differently.
Right.
So D-Gun, do I regret it? No, because I was me, you know, and all the stuff that I did, I didn't do. Like, yeah, was I drinking? Yes. Yeah. But everybody was drinking. It was a party.
Right.
And the thing that it taught me was two things it taught me. Every brother ain't a brother and every sister ain't a sister. Like, seriously. And it also taught me that, you know, you have to, you have to move differently. Because the thing that I did, like I remember that day, like it was yesterday, because I got called, like my boss called me to the office and he said something to the effect that Michael Smith and Jemele Hill don't like the way that you do certain things, right? Mm. And I was like, what does that mean? He was like, well, you know, he was being honest. He said, they will never tell you this, but I'm telling you, they don't like the way that you prepare for your job or whatever like that. I'm like, well, how am I preparing that they don't like? He said, well, I don't want to go into that, but I'm just letting you know they don't like the way you prepare. So what I did, D-Gun, I went to the cafeteria. I saw him in the cafeteria, and I confronted him. I said, listen, if there's something that I'm doing that you don't like, you ain't got to go behind my back and tell me. You can come to me. Right. You can talk to me like a man. Listen, I said, I respect both of you guys. I haven't been doing this that long. So if there's something that I could do better, just tell me. And at the time, I didn't realize what Jemele said. She said, well, she answered it just like this, D-Gun. She said, well, I'm surprised that he told you. I mean, it lets me know right now I can't trust him. So she was telling me, she wasn't denying that she said it.
Right.
She was more upset that he told me.
Okay.
And it didn't register with me. So, you know, we go through that week or whatever. So we go down to the NABJ. And so I see them on stage, you know, doing their thing. So I went up like, hey, yo, those are my coworkers, you know, being me, you know, being loud and boisterous, like, you know, being me. Didn't think it was that big a deal.
Right.
So Michael Smith walks off stage and he gets upset. And he puts his finger in my face and says, don't you ever do that again. Right. So, like, and the funny thing about it was B. Mitch was there. So I was talking to B. Mitch. And so when I saw him, I walked past B. Mitch, we spoke or whatever. So I walked up to Mike and I'm saying, hey man, is everything okay? And he was like, don't you ever do that again. Da, 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 da. And I just whispered in his ear, I said, listen, Mike, don't let this TV stuff get your ass whooped.
Oh,
I said, because I will beat your ass up in here. I said, I will beat your ass up in here. And I shouldn't have did that, D-Gun. I shouldn't have did that.
Right.
But that was doing, because I felt like, you know, we're teammates. I could talk to you like that. I'm being honest.
Right.
But that was not the way that is handled in the real world, that you can't handle things that way.
And it got you up out of there in a hurry.
Got me up out of there. Hurry. Hey, listen, D-Gun, got me out of there quick. Got me out of there real quick.
And do you think that incident handcuffed or stagnated your growth and job opportunities for a while?
It definitely did.
Okay.
Because of the stigma that, you know, I'm the angry black man, you know, because even when I was sitting in the HR office, the guy was like, well, you know, you're big and you're intimidating. You know, you still lift weights. Like, what? That was D-Gun, this is a moment in life that I would never forget. And I remember that conversation because it was more so about my physical presence more so than what I did. And he was like, so, you know, but you're very intimidating. I said, man, I told him exactly what I said. But when they were talking about accusing me of being an alcoholic and drinking and all this stuff, I was like, I didn't do that. And I remember, like, the night before I had to go in HR, Stephen A. called me, Stephen A. Smith. Yeah. And he said, hey, man, I don't know what you did to them. He said, but they're out to get you. He said, they're out to get you. So you need to call whoever you were interacting with there, and they need to speak on your behalf. Mm. As a matter of fact, man, listen, Stephen A. was the guy that spoke on my behalf for me to get the job in Atlanta.
Wow.
A lot of people don't know that.
Really?
Yeah. Stephen A. spoke on my behalf.
Well, how did that happen? How did you get Stephen A. to speak on your behalf to go to Atlanta?
Because Stephen A. is really good friends with Terry Fox. Terry Fox was the program director here in Atlanta at the time.
Okay.
And so, you know, at that time, you know, it was the allegations from the young lady. It was that. Like, it was a bunch of stuff that happened in the same breath.
Wow.
So it was that in the ESPN thing. So Stephen A. basically went to bat for me and said, listen, because he knew me. And he just said, listen, man, I'll put my neck out there for you.
Right.
He said, don't make me regret this. He said, please don't make me regret this. And I said, you won't regret it. And since that day, D-Gun, I'm careful not to do two things.
What's that?
I don't get too close to my coworkers.
Right.
and I for damn sure don't drink in public.
Didn't I tell you a long time ago, don't ever let your guard down as long as you're in this business?
And you know what? That's what I did. I let my guard down. And I tell my coworkers.
Not me.
You know, and it's funny because I tell my coworkers, I say, you know, they be like, hey, we're at a party. What's that? Nah, bro. And I tell anybody who's at, even this weekend.
Right.
When I was walking around the building, I had a cup of Sprite because I'm not drinking around no folks that I don't know. And I'm don't for them it. Not being in a situation where you can say he was doing this, that, or the third.
That's right.
Not doing that. Because I worked too hard to get back to this point that I'm at now.
So when you look at yourself as a broadcaster, what have you learned about yourself being on this side of the medium? And what has surprised you about what you're capable of doing?
You know what surprises me is the fact that how much sometimes what I consider useless information.
Yes.
Is kind of it for whatever odd reason, it becomes relevant in some of the weirdest situations.
Right. Like, right.
Since I've been here.
Right.
You know how it is, D-Gun. Like in the business that we're in.
Yes.
The more that you know, the better. You might not know everything, but you know a little bit about everything. You said what they say, a jack of all trades, a master of none, but he's still better than a master of one.
Yes.
It's kind of the same thing. Like, I really kind of dove into college football since I've been here. Love college football. Love the fact that we talk about Georgia. Love the fact that, you know, the coaching carousel that's starting off right now in college football. Love that. Love talking about fringe stuff that might have something to do with sports. Like, I was reading a story today about Deshaun Watson and his return to Houston this weekend.
Yes.
And the fact that all of his accusers are coming to the game this weekend.
They probably all be in the same section.
Man, that's powerful.
Yeah, that I'm is telling powerful. You. I'm telling you.
That's powerful. And it's like on this side of it, because of we do what we do, and I get a chance, especially on radio, I get a chance to give my perspective on different stories instead of just telling the story. Because, you know, like when you're doing television, you only got like 2 or 3 minutes to get the information out there.
That's
and
right.
A lot of times,
right.
You're not even giving your personality. You're just telling a story. You're just relaying information.
That's right.
In radio, I get to give my perspective, whether people like it or not. And then on top of that, I get immediate feedback from the stuff that I say on Twitter. So it gives me an opportunity to interact with the different people. And in some cases, dig and learn something that I didn't know.
Right, right. So
that's the thing that I've learned about myself. Listen, you've been
never stop learning. Never stop learning.
Yeah. And you've been around people in this business that they are the smartest person in the room, so they think they are.
Yep.
I the one thing that I know for a fact, I am not the smartest person in the room, and there's always room to grow.
When you always think you're the smartest person in a room, you're in the wrong room.
Yes. Yes. See? Because you're not the smartest person. So I like that. I like the interaction with Twitter. I like the interaction with fans. And I like being somebody that I've never once had anybody come to me and say, hey, that stat you dropped about on the fourth down and fourth and one and they went for it. That was great. I always hear stories about, hey man, sorry about your car being stolen. Hey, sorry about you, you know, congratulations to your son going to Morehouse, because people feel like they have a connection with you.
Exactly.
So I like that. I like that part about what I do.
Hey man, every time I see you, every time I talk to you, I can sit there and talk to you for hours, man. And I can't thank you enough for giving me some quality time here on Gun on One.
You know, anytime, Digga, listen, you know, I enjoy talking to you, man. Like, you're family too. You are definitely family.
I'm like, what, a distant step cousin?
No, you listen. You this family. If you ring the doorbell unannounced, D Gun, I'm open the door. Like, if you say, listen, if it's anybody else, I'm like, what the hell you doing here?
Hey, look, anybody out there listening, everybody, if you have a chance to hear Hugh Douglas, if you're down in the Atlanta area, check him out. He's a co-host in the morning show at 92.9 The Game down in Atlanta. Like I said off the top of my podcast, he is always outspoken, funny, but he is true grit. I call him True Grit because he's going to tell you like it is. The one and only, an Eagles Hall of Famer, Hugh Douglas. My brother, thank you for giving me some time on this show.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
All right, that's going to wrap up this edition of Gun on One, the podcast. Hey, everybody out there, thanks for listening, and continue to tell all your friends to listen in. So until next time, stay blessed out there, but more importantly, Be a blessing to each and every person you encounter. Until next time, we out.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.